Smile, you recording?
Slamming Bentley dogs like we invented dogs. 20 years ago, we drove Bentley and Zars. We drinking Cristal in.
Yeah.
Kept a tray on me like Chris Paulin. Drinking Ace Spade like it's Cody now. Trying to put a million on the whole team now. Push through the pain so we can see new life. So all the ladies having babies, see a sacrifice. Mama had four kids, but she's a lesbian. Had to pretend so long that she's a lesbian. Had to hide in the closet so she medicate. Society shame and the pain was too much to take. Cried tears of joy when you fell in love. Don't matter to me if it's a him or her. I just want to see you smile through all the hate. Maria Antoinette, baby, let her meet Kate.
Bad times turn to good memories.
Smile.
Even when I'm gone and you remember me.
Easily one of my most favorite songs on Jay-Z's latest album. Would you agree?
Easily.
Easily.
Absolutely. It's not even a second to thought about that. I love that song. Absolutely love that song.
I love it too.
I love the message. I know we can't play all of it, but I love his mom's poem. I really do wonder what that was that like to be married and have four children and know this thing about yourself and just keep going day by day.
Fake it till you make it.
That's fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it.
It is. I mean, a lot of us at our, you know, young age think that, you know, we probably came out when we were like 20 plus years old or younger than that. So you probably faked it for 5-10 years.
Right.
That has nothing on faking it.
A whole family.
A whole family. A husband, divorce. Four kids. And now your son, well, we don't know when Jay-Z first found out, but he's well into his 40s and releasing this information. Saying, that's amazing. That's crazy.
Which, but we know he didn't really get approval for.
Yeah. We were listening to Rap Radar.
Uh-huh.
And they were interviewing Jay-Z, which is obviously a rare moment. The special was on Tidal, of course. And Jay-Z was saying how he didn't have permission from his mom to even record that song at first.
At all.
That's crazy. I wonder if he just, like, knew anyway that she would eventually be okay with him releasing that. So he's like, let me just get it off my chest.
But she went from hell no to being on the song.
Right. On her own terms. I guess you could do that when you're Jay-Z mom, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm Mary Shane.
Welcome, and I'm half of D Squared.
And this is Dyke Dilemmas.
We are missing people today.
Yeah, it's Labor Day weekend, and so Gina and Meek are out of town. So we're here to carry the torch. Nobody invited us to
any of the cookouts this weekend.
It's probably because we're vegan.
Exactly.
And, you know, they don't have anything but...
Don't nobody have time for that.
All that cow pus and...
They try to, you know, they try, but they still gonna ask us stuff like, do we eat eggs?
Chicken and pork.
Oh, you're vegan. What about this chicken? I baked it. It's not fried.
You're vegan, so you still eat macaroni and cheese, right? Yeah.
Want some cereal?
Nah, it's all good. We're going to actually do a special on that. I would kind of want to do it when we have like a get together and we're going to force all of our friends to try our favorite vegan meals.
Oh my God.
But I guarantee they're going to love it.
Some of them can be the meatless chicken meals and stuff. All of them won't be just veggies and rice.
Right. Because there's much more to that, to being vegan than just eating brown rice and grass every day.
Yeah, my cousin is talking about how he is really trying to eat better because he's so bored with chicken. And he was like, but I get tired of eating broccoli and brown rice every day. Who is doing that?
I don't even know the last time I've had brown rice and broccoli in a meal.
I'm not doing that every day. You gotta venture out, cuz.
Yeah, please. So, yeah, we're gonna do a couple edition of Dyke Dilemmas today. For those of you that don't know that D Squared and I are a couple. That's my boo.
A couple of what?
A couple of girlfriends. A couple of dykes. A couple of lesbians. We go together.
We go together.
We live together.
We live together.
We work together.
Lord.
We do all kind of projects together. We are like...
And I still feel like sometimes I don't see you.
I know, right?
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
First time for everything, because I'd be over folk.
What is it? So what do you feel like? What is it like working, living, with your mate? How is that?
Doing this.
And, doing this kind of project and all our other projects we have.
In the beginning, I was extremely scared because I know that humans annoy the crap out of me. And eventually, I'm going to need, you know, some time to myself or... Oh, actually, not even some time. I normally require a lot of time to myself. So I was nervous. But that has not been the case at all. It's not like you work right across from me or something at our job. So you pop in and out. Or when you need something from me, I have to do that. But it's not like we see each other all day at work.
And plus, we have, like, one of the things I know I enjoy about us is even though we do spend a lot of time together, we do have very different interests in certain things. So
yeah.
When you're busy with theater and things like that, and I may be busy with basketball, that allows us to do things that we love apart from each other.
Right.
And I think for me, it creates that.
And school is now in play for me.
Right. Yeah.
And we're still busy outside of
each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think for me, us working together makes for our bond to be even tighter. Like creating, we work on this together, and BCJ, which stands for Black Children's Joy, for those that don't know. And we do workshops for children, and we're trying to incorporate a parental piece in that. But we do a lot of work together, and through that, I think we learn a lot about each other, our strengths, areas of improvement, things like that. So you know, it allows us to grow as a couple, and that's one of the things I definitely enjoy about us.
Yeah, I think I've reached a new level of understanding how to have someone's back.
That's for real.
Yeah, that means people know that they can't just walk up to me and be able to be annoyed or say something sideways out their mouth. Not at work, not at these workshops.
Not nowhere.
Not nowhere.
Nowhere. Not no family member,
not
nothing.
No.
Not at all.
Cut off.
I wonder if people look at couples and when it almost sounds cliche when they say, oh, this is my best friend or this is my favorite person. But I don't know, like, we might have to have that hashtag let's argue then, because I really feel like you're like my best friend, like my favorite person. Like, yeah. Even when you get on my nerves, because we know that.
Lord! You get on my
last nerves.
Oh my gosh.
But no, for real. Like, I think we do a great job because we are two totally different people. As far as like personality wise, I'm more outgoing. You're very introverted.
Yeah.
But we kind of balance. And I think one of the things I'm learning about myself is how I can see the growth in me through our relationship, because I'm learning to respect your feelings. Yeah, our differences, but respecting you as a person, not trying to change you or, you know, like.
That's so important.
Yeah, and letting you be who you are. And not like I have the power to do that, but you know what I'm saying, without trying to change you.
Yeah. Everybody in relationships go through that phase, though, when they're trying to change their mate or make them fit this mold of what they think they could be, or the potential they see in them doesn't necessarily mean that that's their destiny.
Absolutely.
And so people get caught up in trying to change their mates, but that is very important. But the best friend part is not just because we already love each other or already in this relationship, we like have fun acting a fool together.
Together, yeah.
So I think that part of being best friends helps.
For sure.
So there's that. Yes, we work together, live together, and play together. Moving on.
Moving on. So last week, we had a dyke dilemma from someone who wrote in regarding dating their
best friend's ex.
Their best friend's ex, right.
Now, a little detail though, the best friend has not been with this person
in years, in a decade, right.
So let's just keep that. And I don't know how people feel about that, but
time does matter.
Time matters, I think. I really do think time matters. And at the time, what, the best friend was fine? It was like, oh, it's going to be a little weird. Yeah, it's weird, but whatever.
I'm in a good place. I don't have to worry about it. So we received a follow-up to that question because the question was, should you tell that person? I think it was something along the lines. Or how do you tell that person? So the best friend was told, and now ever since the best friend was told and said they were actually fine with it, it seems that the relationship has kind of maybe changed, like less talking, the friend acting weird. So, you know, the question is like, now what do you do about that? What do you think, D squared?
Okay. Now you already heard mine on this. If they are truly in a good place.
Who is they?
The best friend that is now acting very distant. Who said she was okay with this. If she was truly in a good place, I'm having a hard time understanding how this is affecting their friendship now. Because, and I told you this, where I am with you, there, I don't care what friend of mine comes up and tell me they want to date one of my exes. Because this is so solid. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if I was only doing this for the moment to be doing it and I still have some feeling somewhere or I just have this jealousy spirit about me, then things like that might bother me. But I wouldn't have time to even be worried about that because this is so exactly where I want to be.
Yeah, well, maybe you think this is so solid. Maybe the friend thought, oh, I'm in a good place. Her shit is so solid. And then once you see how happy somebody else is with the person that you used to be with, it's like, wait, she ain't never do that with me. Or wait,
people change.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in 10 years, people grow.
And not only that, maybe y'all weren't the one for each other because there's shit that I do now that I most definitely
did not do in past relationships.
And if that person was here today, probably still wouldn't do. Like it's just for that person that is it. You know what I mean? That person that you're really feeling a different type of connection. I'm not saying these people have never been in love before. Of course, we've all been in love before now.
Right.
I'm saying that different. That something different that is making you want to do those things that you've never done for anyone else before. Or think about it on a different scale. That happens. I'm pretty sure she's already been in another relationship too. That she's done something that she didn't do
for a previous person. And it's okay. I mean, I know that it's hard to move on from people and maybe, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I don't have that dream.
I know that sometimes in some relationships it's hard to move on from people is what I'm trying to say. But with 10 years gap, come on now.
That was a lot of dating. So
I really don't. It was a lot of dating. It had to be. You don't. First of all, let's not do that. So, but yeah, I think that it can be hard. And then I think it's a hard pill to swallow also to see your best friend dating someone you used to date, whether it was 10 months, 10 days, 10 years. I think that is definitely a hard pill to swallow. And maybe the best friend should have thought on that before she quickly answered and said she would be fine with it. And then part of me feel like I have questions for the other best friend because it's like, okay, I have best friends who I don't talk to necessarily every day. You know what I'm saying? We don't talk every week, but once we pick up the phone, once we see each other, it's like we never left. So
is she now feeling a little guilty? So she's kind of putting this in her head that their relationship.
Not even feeling guilty. It just happened to be down one of their down times, and it happened to be around the same time she told her about dating the ex. Right. It don't necessarily mean that the friend is mad with her. So I'm hoping that's the situation. And it's like, girl, I wasn't mad. I've just been busy. You know how we do. Just right. fell at an awkward time. You know, that could be a possibility as well. She could, you know, wish the best for her. It can't be, it, especially when their relationship didn't end on terms like, I wish you death and all these things.
Right.
Because that matters. Because you, right, you know how it's lesbians do.
Okay, so I asked you this question last time about how did it feel for you to have a friend dating an ex. And you apparently have had this on more than one occasion because you picked a different story than the one I was thinking in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't necessarily have to go in detail if you don't want to, but how was it to have another ex or the first ex date a friend? A close friend. And y'all are all
friends.
Pretty much friends.
I think it's the different ways both of those situations came into mm-hmm. play. You know, one of them I had no idea about. The other one, I actually kind of put them on. So I think, you know, it just depends on how those situations come about. You
right.
you got to do everything decent and in order. But
you a good one. Now, I don't give a damn cause who my ex's date, but I ain't helping none of my friends
get on there. What if you see like you are the perfect match for this person? Like, I just want to see, you know, y'all, I know that y'all both interested in, you know, so let me just put y'all on.
I might say, oh, you know what? That sounds just like such and such. The end. They still got to go do that.
They still
got to
do the legwork by themselves.
And we can all hang out afterwards.
Afterwards.
But I ain't doing it.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are my situations that I was involved in. Two different, totally situations. And I think it matters when you're up front and honest about things. So to me, for that would be the difference. One was dishonesty, mm-hmm. one was honest, and when it's honest,
you can
deal.
You can put your feelings
yeah.
aside.
And
if there were feelings,
right.
But, yeah.
And no shade, the dishonest situation definitely eventually we were able to come back around and, you know, make things right with each other, but it did take a minute to get there. So just being upfront and honest, you know, yeah. soften the blow.
Yeah.
So that's it for our Dyke Dilemmas. If you have one, of course, don't forget that you can email us at Dyke, and that's with a Y, dilemmas@gmail.com. That's DYKEDILEMMAS@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at Dyke Dilemmas. We definitely have a Instagram page up now. Everything is Dyke Dilemmas and a Facebook. We're going to be doing some Facebook lives and join us in some conversations on Instagram and Twitter as well. But we're definitely moving. Shout out for episodes 1 and 2. Definitely picking up, you know, listeners, some volume. We're on SoundCloud right now. So follow us on SoundCloud and listen to us.
I also have a question that people could start, I guess, adding to our Instagram or our Facebook. Where the gays travel internationally comfortably? Apparently Jamaica's not one of them.
Not one of them, okay.
Unless you look like me, because I've been to Jamaica. But
right, I guess what I'm hearing, and
what?
D-Squared is a femme, so her and her best friend went, and they're both femmes. STEM.
Yeah.
but what if I went over there, like my stud friends?
You know, my other friend, who I call PP, she was supposed to go with us. And then I really did explain, like, you know, I don't know if you want to, you know, and she ended up opting out. She didn't even want to take the chance. But I don't know if they are that bad on lesbians as they are with gay men, because I never really hear anyone say too much about lesbians.
I've heard the one story from a group of friends about a lesbian couple holding hands and being escorted out the bar.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard a situation.
And this is in Jamaica?
Yes, in Jamaica. I've heard about a lesbian couple kissing and being approached with a gun. I've heard about that too. I've heard a couple of strange stories about Jamaica. From my understanding, it's safe to say that if you're going to Jamaica, like, and you're staying on a resort, is to, like, stay on the resort and not travel too far out.
I was at a resort. And just so we're clear, because I know some people know me as the person that will really not go somewhere if they had any type of discriminatory actions on any view. So I wasn't that aware of how Jamaica could be. I mean, I knew that they had discrimination, but so does America. I didn't think it was like that until after I went, and the girl I was dating at the time started to make me watch like YouTube videos of how bad it is.
So is it safe to say you're not going back?
I would never go back. Yeah, and like that was her thing too. Like, she was born and raised in Jamaica, and she was like, nah, I'm not going there to vacation and knowing what I had to deal with even growing up. Because it ain't like she ever changed the way she dressed. It's not like she ever, you know, she dealt. I don't think I was that aware. I was just like, okay, so it's the same way here. Like, I wasn't aware of it until, well, we talked about it before.
Yeah.
Until the driver and all that stuff and then watching all that. So, no, I would never go back, ever. It was fun, but I won't go back.
Yeah, but.
So, yeah, you guys let us know where's a safe place for us to travel and actually look like a couple instead of BFFs.
Being best friends.
And hopefully be able to eat some food.
What up, homie?
Because we're vegan.
Right, because we are vegan.
So moving on.
Moving forward. What we got this week? What's been going on in the world? A lot.
Of course, Hurricane Harvey hit and destroyed Houston, basically.
Man, that's insane. Like, I think it's crazy how powerful water can be.
Mother Nature
and the things. I mean, it was just devastating to watch. I know I have relatives outside of Houston, and I definitely reached out to them to make sure they were okay. And I actually know a former coworker who moved down there, and she was on Facebook, and I kind of stalked her Facebook to make sure she was good. Mm-hmm. And see how she was doing. But, you know, she was definitely fearful. And it was like the neighborhoods around her were like flooded out. But she was, thankfully, you know, nothing touched her place. Her and her grandson were safe and fine. But we know that's not everybody's story.
No, I had two friends that I met actually when I lived in New York who are from Houston. And one just moved back like a month or so ago. So mm-hmm. I had been checking on them through the whole time. I actually just got finished talking to them. About an hour ago to see if, because, you know, it was more rain to come when I first reached out to them, and they weren't sure, but luckily everyone is dry and safe around their area, but they were telling me that it is just, you know, not the same for everybody right now.
What am I hearing about Master P had an issue with Kevin Hart's challenge?
The 25K challenge.
Kevin Hart called out a couple of his celebrity friends, Chris Brown, Beyonce, Jay-Z, T.I.,
Chris Rock,
Jerry Seinfeld. He called out a number of people and asked them to match his 25K, and pretty much all of them did.
Yeah.
Some of them raised the bar. I think Chris Brown said he was pledging a 100K. But Master P felt like Kevin Hart should have just done it in silence.
Or don't make it a challenge. Don't make it a competition, he said, or something. Give from the heart.
Give from the heart. But how do we know that they're not giving from the heart?
Just because there was a challenge. I mean, he went in the theme of social media. Social media always has some type of challenge up. He's on social media while he's doing this. He went with that theme of this is the Houston, you know, whatever challenge, this is whatever it was, he just went within that theme. And by all means, if it is a competition, let it be.
However, we can
restore
Houston, right? However, we can get these people shelter and food and water, however, we can make that happen. I don't think now is the time to be really in our feelings about how it gets done. Even though, who was it? T.I. said, do not give to the Red Cross.
Right.
Which is crazy if you think about all the natural disasters and how Red Cross is the first organization that people donate to. Now we got to figure out how much of the money you're donating actually goes to the survivors, to the actual relief of those areas, which is so crazy. We were just watching 60 Minutes. And it's always something. It is always something. And people paying for flood insurance every month, and then their house gets flooded out by, what was that, Sandy? Up in New York, New Jersey. And they don't get any of the money from their damaged homes. The contractor comes out, looks at the house, and says there's structural damage, takes the report back, and the insurance company doctors the statement and says that there was no structural damage, which means you're not going to get any money for your home, which you've built and paid all this money for and put all this hard work into, and now you're left with nothing.
Nothing. And Sandy hit hard, y'all. Like, I'm sure people remember that. I can see it clear.
Because you were living in New York at the time.
Yeah, I was living there. It was ridiculous. And I thought my little street was horrible. When you go into the city, I mean, don't get me wrong, my street was horrible. A huge street was blocking. We couldn't get in and out. Gas lines was 2 hours long. There was no power. Brooklyn was dark. And Southern Tribeca was underwater, completely underwater. Subways, everything. Getting to work was crazy. Like, we literally shared a cab with strangers and pretty much sitting on their laps to try to get back and forth. Even to go get to a grocery store, which some of that was underwater or closed down. Food was no good. Like,
right.
It was horrible to be there by myself and then trying to get to a friend's house who finally got power on this one street, and we all, like, crammed up in her apartment.
Wow. Yeah, so these natural disasters, you know, take people out and really leave people struggling. So I really don't care how the challenge was put out there, how the money was, you know, collected. Making it happen is what's most important.
Now I can see if he's trying to say, Kevin Hart is trying to put pressure on people. What if people were only planning to do 10K because they'd already donated so much this year to this, that, and a third? And now they're feeling pressure to have to do 25K. He didn't do an up-and-coming art. He didn't do somebody like August Alsina, who is not a freaking millionaire right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
He didn't say, August, put up all your 25K that you got. He called out the big names.
Michael Blackson took up for the, what did he call them? The Z-listers? I don't know. He called out the Basketball Wise, Loving Hip Hop people. He told them to put up their little 10K or they
put up your coins.
Put up your coins. It just doesn't matter. Because on the flip side of what Master P talking about, I was seeing, because, you know, I don't have 25K to give. On my little timeline, people were kind of talking about why were they giving only 25K. I just really feel like we have got to get out of this mindset that celebrities owe us anything.
All of their
especially
coins.
When it comes to their money, like, they don't owe us that, but you know, there, I feel like there's a certain charge that comes with that status, but I don't think that you have to give your entire hard-earned money away. But, you know, it's nice to be helpful, and I think that 25K is admirable.
Especially when you call out all of them
to do it and then they all respond. So I think, you know, just long as you're giving, because my question is, if you calling out them about the 25K, did you give?
Right.
You know, what did you give? Just making sure that we're all doing the right thing, the human thing, you know, and that's to help each other.
So harp on the word challenge.
Just do it. So still much prayers and positive thoughts for the people out in Houston and the surrounding areas. Definitely don't want to forget about the smaller towns around, you know, outside of Houston, because they definitely were affected.
Yeah.
So shout out to them, and prayers and positive thoughts to you guys. And we're all still trying to do as much as we can to, you know, help.
Joel Osteen.
Joel said, I don't know what they want from me. It's like them. I heard that's what Joel said. I heard that when CNN asked him that, that's the first lyrics came out of his mouth.
Did he sing it like that.
He sung it just like that. With the praise and worship team in the background. Shut up. If y'all don't know who Joel Osteen is, y'all must be living under a rock, because he is like the most famous preacher.
Is he?
Of the not gospel, but gospel. Like, he is, like, in my eyes, because I'm a PK. So in my eyes, Joel Osteen is like a motivational speaker, mm-hmm. like a positive thought kind of speaker. He doesn't really preach Jesus, in my opinion. But he does have a mega church in Houston, and they have over 16,000 members. But I'm hearing that he actually draws in about over 20 million viewers.
Really?
Yeah, he's like on TV every week. But long story short, he has a mega church in Houston, and the people were getting on him because he didn't open the doors of the church fast enough.
For the relief effort.
For the relief effort. And I'm like,
What would have been fast enough? Chaos? Like, just open them up and let people run in?
Yeah, let people run in. And not for nothing, I mean, we need to think about how the convention center, when you look back at Hurricane Katrina, was left in shambles. So I think I think that some people have to realize that we, with our minds, can't even possibly fathom what it takes to cater to an entire city of people, especially a large city such as Houston, and what the mobility you would need to make things happen. So if he opens this church and his church members are from Houston as well, are they not possibly stuck too?
Right.
You know, are the volunteers of his church not possibly stranded somewhere too? So if I open the doors, don't I have to have manpower to make things happen in there?
Yeah.
You know, so that was my thing. I cut the man some slack, because there's other mega churches in Houston, too. Did they open their doors? I don't know. That's my question. Did they? Because I really don't know. But I think that before we start jumping down people's throat, yeah, you got to kind of figure things out. And from my understanding, like one of his associate ministers there, associate pastors, John Gray, he spoke out, you know, on behalf of their church, and saying, you know, that they do this all the time, you know, helping people. And even after all of this blows over, the media coverage blows over, they'll still be in Houston helping people. So, you know, not to put them in a bad light or anything. And, you know, I know there are obviously people out there who aren't going to agree or see it, you know, the way I do, but I feel like, get a man a break. That's just how I feel.
So
what you say, you really don't care?
No, I mean, I care. I understand. I really do get it. I mean, I don't mind. I don't. I got to stop bringing race into everything. I don't really care that they didn't give him slack, but in this big scheme of things.
Give that white man hell.
No. I'm just saying, come on. Like, he can handle this. Calm down. But at the same time, we got to think rationally about this. Chances are some of his staff were stranded too, or it was hard to get somewhere, to get there, to be able to open up. So, yeah, I would say for that, let's think rationally and reasonably about this.
True story. All right. in other news, trans model Monroe Bergdorf. I'm not even sure if I'm saying that name right. Monroe Bergdorf. You ever heard of her?
No, I actually haven't.
So this story was new, coming across my line. Apparently, she had just signed on with L'Oreal UK to be a spokesperson for one of their basically a model. But. Just as quick as homegirl got hired, she got the axe. She got fired. And she got fired because of her statement she made on Facebook. And this is what she said. Yeah, this is so funny to me. She said, honestly, I don't have energy to talk about the racial violence of white people anymore. Yes, all white people, because most of you don't even realize or refuse to acknowledge that your existence, privilege, and success as a race is built on the backs, blood, and death of people of color.
All of them.
I mean, where is the lie, though?
Where is the lie? Stop me when I'm lying.
So, yeah, she got fired for her statements.
Maybe because she said, okay, so there is no lie in what she said about
the privilege. Right. And their.
But maybe she got fired because she said all white people.
Absolutely.
All right. That's why. And we know that white people hate the word racist more than they hate being racist. So that's another whole thing. Racist to them is like the N-word to us. Yes. They can do all the actions of racism
but don't you say
be fine with it, but don't you dare call them
call me a racist. Because I have black friends.
I'm not a racist. I have a white friend that I really consider a white friend. I don't think I'm racist at all because of that. I have my one.
Well, yeah, but you also said that black people can't be racist.
That's very true. They cannot be racist.
Yeah, if y'all want to get D squared
riled the fuck up,
talk about black people being racist.
Black folks cannot be racist.
They can't.
Don't talk about black people being racist, and don't talk about black folks having good hair.
Dang, I'm gonna start singing that song from what is that old movie? A Spike Lee movie. School Days.
Oh, School Days?
Good or bad hair.
Oh my god. I can't.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was because she said all white people are racist. That's why.
Yeah, that's pretty much why.
I wonder if my white friend would have a problem with me saying that. Because I don't think I've ever, like, me and him have had very deep, like, racially charged conversations about what's going on. And he is very open and he is very understanding. And that's probably why I like him. But I don't think I've ever said anything like, you people or you all or all of y'all or you might feel this way, but I bet your mama racist. Like, I don't think I've ever had that conversation with him or anything. So it has to be because she said all white people. All of them. Damn, girl. You almost made the coin. But I feel you.
Speak your truth.
We didn't talk about old girl from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, Ruby Rose.
That's her name.
Yeah.
I couldn't think.
That's more Houston news. Ruby Rose donated $10,000 to the LGBTQ relief fund or something like that. And a couple folks on the All Lives Matter crew came out on her.
Of course they did.
Because how dare you only donate funds to the LGBT relief fund? How dare you do that? All lives matter, not just gay people in Houston. And so Ruby Rose, she kind of fired back and just basically told them that you got it all wrong. And obviously you don't understand the organization because they help everyone. It's not some kind of prerequisite of, oh, check here if you're gay. So, yeah. But so that's how that went, you know. But whatever. Give. It's always the people. Here's the thing. And this is just not with Houston. This is with everything that go on in the world. Social media has given everybody a voice. And people who don't do anything, they don't even give a dollar. They don't give their time.
But will rant and rave
about everything. The only thing they will give is their opinion. And we don't want to hear it.
Y'all, please take care of your mental health out in these social media streets. Seriously.
Social media will have you feel like you're so important.
It's just emotionally taxing.
I legit
had to take a break because all as many good things as you hear, you get all the ignorance too. And then you sit there and you're going to try to, I don't know, block them all or unfriend them, and then you're going to find a new one. Then your feelings are hurt because someone you thought you really liked is just dumb as rocks.
Jesus. Oh, my goodness.
It's just a lot. Please, I hate that social media is giving everybody a voice to just type out their opinions grammatically incorrect and all.
And all. People be having strong points, and I'd be like, when did this...
I can't even share it.
Can you put a period there or a comma there or something? Break it up.
I don't know my there.
Or my two, and two. Man, that's so sad. Never mind. I don't even want to get into that because that's one of the things. Yeah. I leave that to the weekdays. Congratulations to Serena Williams and her boo. They gave birth to a baby girl this week or last week sometime. So congratulations to their rich ass baby.
I want to know. I didn't know he was a co-founder of Reddit. I want to know how she feels about them allowing people to put up Black Twitter stuff and like a whole bunch of white folks just sit there and laugh their asses off at it and don't even know what's really happening. They just get some of the punchlines. That's what I knew a white boy I used to work with used to do. He used to sit there and look at Reddit all day and laugh and then tap me and ask me who was Drake because that's what the subject was. So I would be like, what the fuck? Who's Drake?
I thought everybody knew who Drake was.
No, these tweets were freaking hilarious. One of them was like, Drake is the type of nigga that would bring flowers to the strip club. But at the same time, that's what Reddit let folks put up all day, and that's what he read all day. It annoyed the shit out of me. Cool, though, but I still had to put him in his place a few times about that. Anyway, congrats to them. Sorry.
Yeah, because you just... a race thing, because she loves talking about race. Our next episode is Dyke Dilemmas featuring D Squared on race and everything.
Interracial dating.
Yeah. Let's talk about interracial dating. I got something to say about that. Yeah, let's talk about interracial dating on our next topic. So if y'all have something to say about interracial dating or whatever, anyways, any topics we don't cover that y'all want us to cover, any hot topics, things that, you know, you see in the news that you definitely think we should cover, hit us up, dykedilemmas@gmail.com.
Or on Twitter.
Dyke Dilemmas, Dyke_Dilemmas on Twitter. We're on Facebook with the name Dyke, last name Dilemmas. First name Dyke, last name Dilemmas. Yeah, do y'all care? I think we asked this before, but hit us up on Twitter if y'all actually care
about the word Dyke.
And share your feelings about it. So we can kind of get a take on that. Yeah, I think it's a generational thing. Yeah, location thing. Like I said before, it's kind of like the N-word or nigga. You know what I'm saying?
But then we're going to find a new word that we can't stand. Like, that's the thing of even things that aren't politically correct. So, you used to say retarded. Mm-hmm. Now you can't.
Yeah.
But then when someone makes fun of the new word that we replace that word with, then we can't say that word.
Right.
And so, it's just a snowball effect of all these words that we'll never be able to use. Again.
You don't control me. Don't tell me what to do.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. What you got going on this week?
Everything. Auditions for Little Shop of Horrors start Tuesday. And then callbacks, if we need them, will be the next day. And if anyone in the area who likes to sing and dance...
And that area is?
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Please come out to Community Theater of Greensboro and audition for Little Shop of Horrors. If you can sing or dance, I need some good dancers so you can make my life easy considering that I'm also in grad school right now, again. And that's taking up a lot of my time.
We love school. Love school. But them loans do not love us. We're going to talk about that too because I need prayer and help. Let's save it for next time. I'm just going to be being the basketball coach that I am, and that's about it this week, really. But it's been a great show. Great episode. Share a little bit about us.
We miss you, Meek and Gina.
Well, yes. Next week we'll be joined by Meek and Gina. That's it.
That's it. It's a wrap.
And we're off.